You are listening to Let's Go JoJo, the weekly JoJo's Bizarre Adventure podcast from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness, and technically from UK Anime Podcast.
Hello.
Hello. So come along and hang with the Let's Go gang. Elliot.
Hey.
Dwayne.
Hello.
Niall.
You.
And me, Brian. This week's episode, Let's Go to the Manga Artist's House, Part 1. So, that is our JoJo's Bizarre Adventure episode this week, episode 14, Let's Go to the Manga Artist's House, Part 1. Who's going to pick up the synopsising to begin with?
Yeah, geez.
Maybe our honoured guest should have the honours.
Yeah, okay. I took notes because I knew this would happen. So you have, so it's a quiet, nice day in Murio, wasn't it? Yeah. So you've got Koichi walking down the street and he runs into fellow midget, Hamazawa, who's just got out of the hospital 2 days ago.
Was he taller before he went to hospital?
Yeah, he looks like they're both the same height now, except that it just looks weird because Koichi's hair has gotten taller and anyway, whatever. So they ramble for a bit and then get really, really excited about the possibility of their favorite manga artist, Rohan Kishibe, having moved to Morio because Hamazawa eavesdropped on some realtors who were talking about him buying a house. So they go to this stonking great house and they spend a while pontificating outside. They decide to try and ring the doorbell, but the manga artist is already there and grabs Koichi's hand and goes, "What the hell are you doing here?" And he looks like, well, he looks like you'd imagine Araki self-insert character with his weird-ass hairband and little ink nib earrings.
Is it hairband or his hair?
I think it's both. Okay. I think they're it's like Jotaro's hat.
It could be a Derby situation where it's like part of his face or something. We're not entirely sure.
It looks like one of those like little paper crowns you get out of a Christmas cracker.
But yeah, that's what I was thinking as well.
Yeah, exactly. I imagine it's one of these things that Araki drew because it looked awesome and then was like, how does this translate?
It's a photo, someone took a photo of him like drunk like, at the Shueisha like office Christmas party and he's passed out on the couch with a hat on and all.
But his hair looked great.
I could use this. Real life experiences inform the work of a manga artist, you know.
Mm. Yeah, we learn more about how a manga artist apparently works. So the kids come into the house and they sort of, after a bit of flabbergasting, ask for the Rohan's signature because they really like his manga series. What is it? Deep Pink Boy or something? I forget.
Dark Pink Boy, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
Pink Dark Boy? I'm out of the order of the words wrong, yeah.
Yeah, ended in boy at least, I think. But yeah, so they go up to his little writing studio with his weird triangular bookcase pyramid thing.
Awesome triangular bookcase.
Yeah, it looks like the most impractical bookcase ever because you'd never fit any books in it. But...
or on top of it.
Yeah. So anyway, they have a faff around for a bit and then Rohan finds a spider and is totally enthralled with it and then stabs it in the abdomen and then licks it and is totally enthralled because realism is the soul of manga, apparently. So these kids get a bit freaked out and like Koichi says, "Yo, maybe we shouldn't hang out with the crazy spider murderer. That'll probably be a good idea. Also the guy who was really excited about seeing you vomit, Hamazawa-kun." And then so the other kid goes, "Nah, sod it, let's be little shits," and like stare at his manuscript, even though it's on the table. So they open his manuscript and get him bathed in a green light. And then their faces peel away, revealing like weird ass pages and text underneath. Rohan turns up and says, "Yo, that's my power. People who see my manuscript are compatible. I can then basically read them like a book, legitimately. And so he starts reading Koichi's life and is really excited about it. He's like, "Oh man, look at all this cool stuff you've been doing. I'm totally going to pillage your life history for my manga." And then he ends up sort of like harassing Koichi. Koichi tries to fight back. I think I was in the middle here, but he can't because Rohan's written in him that he cannot attack Rohan because his book says so, because Rohan wrote inside him that he can't attack him. So
yeah,
Echoes
it's like
can't
in a
do
real
Jack.
Book where you write your own story into the book in between the lines. And then it makes it canon. That's
That's what fanfic's about. I never knew. So anyway, he looks at Hamazawa and he has a really shitty life and he basically like disses him hardcore before Rohan just goes, "Man, don't care about you. You can bugger right off." It should be noted as well that the pair of kids are basically laid on the floor like a pair of dead cicadas at this point in their weird poses, like they're trying to climb back up a flume or something. It just looks weird. They keep jumping around in animation quality at this stage. But yeah, there's crazy bookhand stuff. Eventually, after a while, Rohan lets them go, and they don't know anything about it. And they're completely like, yeah, he was really nice to us. He gave us tea and cookies. And so they go home, and Koichi finds he's lost half his weight. The scales aren't busted, just he's gotten really light for some reason. He tries to go tell Josuke, but then he forgets, and he stands around in some rather fetching boxer shorts. I'm sure they'll be available for sale shortly. His sister then disses him. Oh, I missed one important part out, sorry. While he's at Rohan's house, Rohan very slowly and deliberately pulls one of the pages out of, Koichi's face in what is kind of a weird, gross, bleeding book thing, while laughing quite a lot. And then, so yeah, Koichi's a bit out of sorts. Next day, he tries to go to school, walks in the wrong direction, and ends up back in Rohan's house, who's like furiously drawing. And then it cuts to the idiot squad outside of, Okuyasu and, Josuke looking at him going, well, this don't seem very sensible, does it? And then the episode ends.
Yeah, they were
so
like,
yeah, that's the general synopsis.
Which is following him because we thought he was going to school, but he ended up going here. What's going on here?
See, I think they thought he was Mitchin, and they were like, yeah, let's go Mitchin too. That's a great idea. Let's go follow him. We were like, hey, let's Mitch together.
But yeah, he's like, Koichi, it's really weird because like Koichi's just walking along and he's like, oh man, my shoes are so heavy. Oh, this house appeared out of nowhere. I should go in there again to thank him for the biscuits. Mm. And he's like, what?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's that in a nutshell. All I can really remember from this episode is Koichi and Hamazawa's like animation quality and facial expressions like oscillating wildly between frames. Whereas Rohan's face is always perfectly sort of dramatically posed and he has the most frighteningly detailed mouth movements and tongue. And it's just like, whoa, you put enough animation into that guy, like, gabbing.
Well, he is at the center of attention. You know, he's the one everybody looks up to. Well, manga artists are the best guys in the world. They have the best job in the world. It's fantastic. Wish I had a manga artist.
And also, they're huge creeps.
Yeah.
And
Sorry.
What were you going to say?
And as they take pains to mention three times, they're so rich and famous, but even by the time they're 20, like, wow, look at this giant house.
Yeah, and you know, you can draw like, you know, 19 pages of incredibly detailed artwork in only 4 days. Five of them are in color. They spend the rest of the day, rest of the week just hanging about, going on trips.
Oh, dear. Like, my guess is, right, Araki wrote this as like, hey kids, you want to come to my house? Don't fucking come to my house. I will mess you up. I will eat a spider in front of you.
More like, stop coming to my house.
Yeah, just to try and creep people out about manga artists' houses. It's just like, yeah, it's not a good place to be.
But it is also funny about him constantly going on about how manga's got to be realistic.
He's at that stage of artistic development, I think.
Right, he didn't want to do this thing about psychic powers. He just wanted to do like the straight romance stories. But you know, the fans demanded more and more.
This is after an episode where he basically like talked about the importance of nappies. If you remember last week, where he went into. I mean, you can tell Araki does one thing: it's research. How he applies it, hit or miss. You know,
maybe he just had a kid, and again, drawing from real life, I can use this in my stories.
God, I can't imagine Araki as a parent. Oh God. But yeah, it was a good episode. I enjoyed it a lot, but it just kind of got a bit confusing how the kids like kept like aging and de-aging and getting, and like they were basically just like tiny, tiny wee midget men the whole time.
Yeah, the question is whether that is in the comic or not, or whether it's just a slip of production, because sometimes they are just taking shots straight from the comic, and of course the comic might look a little strange in the first place.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it probably was.
Yeah. The other thing is, the other fella also gets his book read, and we learn that he's still a mega creep, even though he's apparently reformed.
Well, he's reformed in that he's not doing evil puppet things no more.
But he's just thinking about evil things or creepy things all the time.
Yeah, what was the worst thing? Like, it's like you like scratching your sweaty balls in class and something like that, and it's like, dude, why did you keep reading? I was just like, oh, I'm gonna stop reading.
It's not just. No.
Yeah, it's not just that. He likes it when people notice him scratching his balls in class.
Like, the punchline to each of his disgusting sort of, like, things was, and you like it if someone finds you out. And it's just like, ugh.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, suitably creepy character. And because it's in the knowledge that he's one of the main characters going on is interesting to find out how he figures, how he comes around to at least not being quite so creepy.
I do quite like how it starts out where you're like, something's off with this guy. Like, immediately you know something's off with him, mostly because he's a JoJo's character.
Well, yeah, like, he's dressed fabulously. He's not a background character.
Yeah, he's dressed amazingly, but also you just know from the first that he's an arsehole. But you're like, okay, how much of an arsehole is this guy going to be? Or is this another Tonio fake-out? And then, oh, nope, this guy's completely in bananas. Like, oh, good, we're on the train to Crazy Town again.
But it does a really nice slow and then very quick thing where it's like, see, most people have just crushed this spider that I found on your back, but I've actually researched it, and it's like, it's this species. Like, and this spider has a particular kind of web. Now, let's see what happens when I cut it open. And it's like, oh, Jesus, fucking hell.
I was paying some attention, but then you know something bad's going to happen when the actual censorship blob appears before anything bad happens. And it's like, oh, no, that spider's getting censored. This can't end well. And then just poof, off it goes. But, yeah, just the oncoming censorship was actually the most ominous part of the episode.
You've got to protect the feelings of any young spiders who might be watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll censor that, but they won't censor the kid puking straight after that. Like, thanks, guys.
Puke's okay. Babies puke, so it's fine.
That was really well-animated puking, like, really well-animated. I'm like, whoa, that was really well done.
Normal bodily function.
There were some nice bits in this as well, like, where initially he's kind of creepy from grabbing your man's arm, but then it does a thing where the camera kind of stays on him and the light adjusts to the interior lighting, and it's actually lovely inside. And, I really like that kind of stuff. They're really kind of playing the normalcy of it against the really fucking creepiness of it.
That's really good. Like you say, because it's just like, and he's like, it's like he's in shadow, and then suddenly, oh, no, look, it's fine. Come on in, kids. And it's like, oh, wow, that was quite well done, you know.
There's a whole emotion as well, he sends them away, and the memory is wiped of anything happening there. He's just, pulling down the blinds, watching him go over and saying, yes, yes, he'll be back. It's like, oh, it's just the kind of the kind of everyday evil. Well, I guess not so everyday, but you know, who knows what looks behind the French blinds of the house next door, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that kind of thing. I did that really good as well, because I was like, this is kind of disturbing. He's just like, weird things are going on and they don't realize what it is, but maybe the other two, like the idiot squad, like you said, have an idea of it. It's like, it's probably an enemy stand user. I mean, like, Koichi thought that, and what was his name? Toshikatsu thought, it's like, what are the odds of it being a stand user?
Yeah. Amazai even says, like, no way. What, yeah, it's like, yeah, guess what's going to happen now? You just said that, idiot.
And Rohan's another guy who's, like, surprised to find other people who've got special powers. So, is he just a guy who loves art so much that he's manifested?
No, he says he got shot by an arrow.
Oh, does he? Yeah. Okay, I missed that bit.
No, it said like a few weeks ago he got shot by an arrow, and the what's his name? Hazamada says,
Keiichi Nijimura.
Thanks, okay. I couldn't think of that Nijimura brother's name. He's like, yes, I read that on page 15. Gotcha. And that kind of thing.
Good job four of us watched this.
We'll get the episode out between us. Jeez. Yeah, this was a pretty great one. I enjoyed the creepiness.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how it actually wraps up, because I have no idea. I read the manga years and years ago, and I can't remember how anything happens now. Like, this is way beyond my recollection at this point.
Yeah, I was like, I read this, like, I've read a good bit past this chapter as well, and I was like, I can't recall how it ends. Obviously, Rohan has come along and tore that page out of my brain, the bastard.
Okay. What have we got, you, Elliot? What other things of our list did you watch?
Side note, I can't see the list.
Okay.
So.
Oh, well, other things I went through before. Oh, yeah, I can.
This is a bit of an admission defeat, but I tried to watch the first episode of Berserk, the new series that went up, I think today on Crunchyroll.
Yes.
Yeah, I was only today.
Yeah, I couldn't do it, guys. Like, so I watched the intro bit, and then I watched the opening, and I watched 5 more minutes, and I went, you know, I was never actually that hot on Berserk anyway. I don't know why I'm subjecting myself to this, and turned it off. There's just the aggressive, like, animation style, like, the whole CG, you know, because the whole thing is all CG, but And, like, don't get me wrong, I'm glad that Berserk is finally moving past, like, the first arc of its existence. Mm. So it can actually move into, like, post-Eclipse stuff, as it's known. But, like, the animation, just the aggressive sort of, like, rapidly shifting cross-hatching when the actual motion of the animation itself is way lower rate of actual movement is kind of unnerving and kind of aggressive. And I don't know, maybe it's my internet playing up, but man, it compressed to hell. Maybe it's just my internet, which got a bit of a dump at that point. But
no, Elliot, it's fucking awful. It's a fucking awful
I think
show.
That's, I think it okay, looks like that anyway. Because there was like an action scene of him swinging the sword, and it's just like, I have no idea what's going on at this scene.
The editing is terrible, the direction is terrible, and the animation is...
Dire.
If I hadn't seen Train Heroes... I would say this is the worst CG animation I've seen in anime. But I have seen Train Heroes, so I can't say that.
Yeah, there were, like, things here and there. For some extreme close-up shots, there was, like, a little bit of imagination there. And there were even, like, little bits in the opening and in, like, Gus's nightmare at a point saying, why couldn't the show look a little bit like more like this? It's great.
Yeah, that's what makes it worse, is you occasionally, like, get a momentary glimpse
of direction
of what
quality,
it could be.
Yeah, but the clouds part for a second, and then they slam shut again. You go, oh, well, never mind.
Oh, just all those dreams now, okay, we're back in the real world, you know, okay, we're all just lying asleep in our beds at night, dreaming of this Berserk show, and this is what we see, and then we wake up, and there's, you know, this mud and blood and badly rendered CGI skeletons.
I mean, it manages something I did not think was possible in a CG animation, and that is for characters to go off model.
Yeah. How is that even, like,
I presume it must be a problem of layering, because, you know, layers.
I think it might just be a problem of it being farmed out to so many different people. There is so many studios seemingly listed in the credits.
Like, there's some shots of the, especially, like, of face shots, where it's drawn, or at least it's drawn by someone else who was doing then the main kind of CG thing.
Yeah, the bit I'm thinking of particularly is the guy who's throwing daggers at Puck.
Oh, the guy who's barely fucking animated.
The cut changes, and he looks like a completely different character, almost. Yeah. His head is like grown huge.
Bandit guys, because probably there were so many kind of varied designs, and some of them never did. They just couldn't decide which ones to go with.
Absolute shit. The only good thing about it, and this, I suspect, is... the part of the problem. It's got the same voice cast as the movie. Mm. It's got at least a song by, I forget his name. The guy who did the soundtrack of the TV series and the movies.
The score is by Shiro Sugiyasu, the Evangelion dude. Is that who you mean?
I mean the guy who did Paranoia Agent.
I couldn't tell you what that is.
Because there is a bit of him in there, but yeah, the rest of the score is fine. But I think there's like a bit of him of the other guy. I'll look it up in a second. It is insert song Susumu Hirasawa.
Oh yeah, I know that guy. Yeah,
because he did the soundtrack for the TV series and he came back for the movies. Well, the first two movies at least. Which is the only two I've seen. But it's like none of the same staff, none of the same studios. It's like, it feels like we want to continue the movies, but we don't want to pay as much money as we did doing the movies.
We're going to get moaned at anyway, so let's just go hog on it. It feels like a real monkey's paw anime, where it's like, oh, I want more Berserk that carries on past the movies, and then the finger curls down, and this turd lands on the doorstep, and it's like, well, shit. I must admit, like, you mentioned bad editing, but the one thing that sticks out, and I still remember now, is when it goes to the opening credits, and just the episode title just goes boop, and it just appears on screen, apropos of nothing, and it's like, oof. You could have maybe put some craft into that rather than just sticking like a friggin' generic text on the screen, couldn't you? Jeez. I don't know. Maybe that's for some reason, that's the one thing that kind of sticks in my craw, usually because anime takes care of its opening titles and episode numbers.
Yeah, the thing which stuck in my head is the like the final shots of Guts wandering through the woods where it's like his legs kind of look like they're moving properly, but the top half of his body doesn't seem to be moving in the same way.
They have a really
is that
bad
like catching up.
Yeah, it's like his shoulders aren't moving. So you'd expect as he's walking for that huge great sword to be bobbing in some way, but it's staying perfectly still.
That's what Stryby
so it's like
is
he's walking in the air above the ground rather than actually on the ground.
Well, you see, Brian, it's actually the sword that's moving. He's just the backpack for the sword.
They have a really bad walk cycle for it, and they've used it like several times. Like, you're going to have like Guts walking a lot, and you might as well have like something that, like you say, Brian, carries a bit of freaking weight to it.
Yeah, and it's like trees which look like they've been created in a different 3D rendering program.
Oh my god, the pine trees in the background, the freaking copy paste ones. Yeah. Fucking hell. Those things were crazy. Yeah.
Actually, even just, I can just say, Dirtway, you know, about, you know, like using animation or just doing a good wall cycle. Like, the fact that this is CG animation, it means you can, like, we've implemented that a lot easier than traditional animation, so why don't we just...
I'm going to suggest, if we do another episode of this, we have to watch that CG fucking thing of those girls dancing around that you said the last day, Brian. I forgot the goddamn name of it. Ugh, it's like a sequel thing that has exactly the same plot.
Oh, we're going to watch Love Live, you mean? Yes. Yeah, Love Live will be much better than this.
Just to compare the CG, I think that's going to be really important.
Oh, man. God, I've had to review, or I have somehow subjected myself to reviewing both Love Live TV series at this point, God help me. But, like, the CG animation, despite being the most jarring thing possible, is actually, like, far more echelons of actual quality higher than this. It's just that it has to, like, appear alongside really nice actual real animation done by sensible people. Right. And then it goes, boop, they turn into Barbie dolls for 5 frames, and you go, ugh, and then they pop back again, and that's the sin that thing does. Yeah. And they'll probably do the same thing with Sunshine, and I'll moan about it again in another review.
Yeah, so the clever thing about what was it called? The thing which is getting a sequel next week.
It's Love Live.
No, the other thing getting a sequel, Show by Rock.
Right. Oh yeah,
the clever thing that did to get around the CG thing is they go inside a world inside mobile phones, so there's an excuse for them to look CG. They're in a computer
we're going
world.
Into the virtual world.
Yeah. Oh shit, we're being rendered by an NVIDIA GPU. We're buggered. We're doomed.
Yeah. The overriding feeling I got was they looked at the animation and they thought, this looks terrible. Just cover it all up in hatching so no one will notice.
So aggressive! It's really bad! Like, above everything else, but just, man, it just keeps... Ugh, anyway, whatever.
Someone just thought, we can make this look like Valkyria Chronicles, the video game. That game looked great. Yeah,
No, you cannot.
No, you cannot.
That was beautiful watercolors. Is the show generally, or sorry, is the book and everything generally this kind of oppressive, or is it just the visuals that's doing it to me as well? Because obviously the blood and gore and everything's fucked forever.
It's very, very dark and very intense.
You know, and the comic doesn't move around in front of you as you're trying to read it either.
Yeah, that's useful. It's not being held by someone else running ahead of you.
that sounds like a good panel idea for the future.
you could say, really, that if one of the purposes of anime is to make people want to buy and study merchandise, including the comic, then this is probably going to succeed very well.
Right, yeah, okay.
But is it? Because I think unless you've watched the movies, you'll be confused. This feels like something which is not going to satisfy anybody. Except...
It's the monkey paw again. Someone wished for it, and so...
But at the same time, people like the Knights of Cydonia TV series, so...
I do! I like the Knights of Cydonia TV series.
No
account
for taste.
Is it like the story, or is it
I like the original manga, and it takes a little getting used to, but I fully get into those TV series. I mean, it's putting the characters I like on screen, and the battles are nice.
Okay, so yeah, like I said, maybe it'll work. Because I don't know the characters, and I just thought the TV series, this looks awful. I've seen the artwork, and this looks terrible.
I give it a lot of slack because I really like the cast and I like the animation. I like the actual fight. So I can get that thing I kind of watch in batches anyway. So I can spend about 10 minutes going, huh? And then my brain tricks itself and goes, oh, fine. We'll accept what's going on screen right now.
I knew I'd get that response from Elliot.
That's what you brought me on. I knew it.
That's why I picked that one rather than Agent.
Oh, I haven't watched Agent. I can't be arsed with that thing.
The Agent's thing is, I think it's well directed. It just is.
Everyone's an arsehole?
No, everyone's an arsehole, but I've expected that. It's just, I've read the comic and I'm like, the comic looks great. This does not look great.
Yeah, my co-host of the podcast said that as well. Sorry.
Sorry to interrupt. You could say the same of a lot of things. Like, Brian, you still watch a lot of the One Piece, and I only check that out irregularly, but I read it as soon as it comes out.
That is true, but That's because One Piece has got more of an appeal. It's like the biggest part of the appeal of aging is the line work in the comic. Mm. It's not the writing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The writing. For a start, one of the writers dropped out part of the way through the story, so.
Oh dear.
It kind of shifts in tone.
Hmm.
For, I would say, the better, but it becomes a lot more nihilistic as well once. But obviously the TV series is adapting the early bit with the, where it's going in a direction that it's not actually really going to go in later on.
You need no feelings in this comic.
Okay, My Hero Academia, episode 13, In Each of Our Hearts.
Oh.
In which All Might is spent, his power's spent. He's got just enough power not to turn into his scrawny version of himself. Despite that, he tries to intimidate, what's his face?
They give his name this time, yeah.
Where's my cheat sheet? Should have got it open.
Crumbly Bumbly.
Yeah.
Tomoki something or other, I forget.
My Hero Academia. Should remember his name because he's a really important character in the entire set. Tomura.
Face Dude.
Crumbly Bumbly.
Tomura Shigaraki. Yeah. So he's basically trying to intimidate him to get him to run off, or at least to delay him long enough so the teachers can get there. But he just ends up goading him rather than making him run off. And Midoriya buys enough seconds by throwing himself in the general direction of the fight.
Well, he tries to punch the dude, but
he does, but he breaks his legs. Just leaping in. And he's about to get turned into dust when Snipe shoots Tomura. I had to look all these guys' names up because I don't think they get names in the show.
Oh, there's too many of them to cover.
Cowboy
all,
man.
Yeah.
Yes. Gask Mask Cowboy. Yeah, all the teachers turn up and they take care of all the villains. Everything gets wrapped up neatly. And Midoriya's kind of like, oh, what about I risked my life for nothing. And All Might's like, did a good job. You gave me 2 seconds extra time in order for everyone to turn up and save us. You're a great hero.
It sounds condescending when you say it.
Hey, you're not seeing my huge grin and my rippling muscles here and my big thumbs up.
I guess I'm missing out on the visual. Sure.
And your two weird sort of like hair bang prong things.
Yeah. I'm imagining them, though.
It's what I'm known for. right. So present Mike shows up and a bunch of characters we've not really met yet.
Yeah, there's a dude who appears to spew out other versions of himself.
Yeah, there's a teacher who appears to teach in bondage gear.
I'd seen her in the manga, and I was just like, is that woman naked? Because it's basically impossible to tell, but apparently not.
Apparently not. Sure. who's the guy who's carrying the principal on his shoulder? Does he do anything apart from carry the principal?
Maybe that's his power.
There's a guy. Oh, what's the guy? Cementos.
Oh, the guy who can control cement.
Yeah.
He controls cement in a modern world. He's very powerful.
I love the little sort of like rat tail thing he had going on at the back of his hair. Just it's a little piece of grey hair emerging from a block of cement, and that's his hair.
Yes.
Well, if that's the only hair you have, you're going to be proud of it, though.
Yeah.
All Might's police buddy shows up.
His old buddy from the Force. Yeah,
buddy Gumshoe.
Oh, and there's a cat cop, yes, which is great.
Called Samson.
Oh yeah. I watched like BoJack Horseman for a second. There's a cat cop out of nowhere.
And who were the ones looking at him from behind? Who thought he might be a dog, and then they were disappointed when he turned around and he was a cat.
I think it was Urara, and I can't remember who she was talking to.
The Sue? Snail girl was there.
Oh, yeah. What's she called? Pinky or something? I can't think.
Is it the pink one?
Oh yeah. I was trying to think of a superhero now, but yeah.
And it all kind of wraps up nicely. There's two guys on a screen who are giving Tomura.
Two guys from Nerve or whatever the fuck.
Yeah,
yeah.
His master and somebody else.
Mm.
I know who the master is. I don't know who the other guy is.
Mm.
The other guy seems to be whoever was responsible for making the Nomu.
Nomu.
Who apparently has just had
himself. He gets arrested, yeah.
He's like, not resisting arrest, take me away.
Maybe that's his weakness, if you just asked him to, it's like, stand down, and he just went, okay. Fuck. He just follows orders.
It's a fair cop, you got me.
And yeah, it turns out the cop also knows All Might's secret.
Like, I think I said before, only me,
all the staff,
Recovery Girl, and you, young Midoriya, know my secret. Also, all these 50 other people who I haven't told you.
And the principal, and apparently Cementos.
I think the Midoriya, the principal, and the nurse are the only ones who know that his power can be passed down.
Like, yeah,
know
I think
the
that's
secret
it,
of his
yeah.
power. Maybe that was but it. Everyone but the students know that he goes into a weak mode, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right there, yeah.
Mm.
I think there's one other character we've not met yet. Who knows the...
Yeah, there's like three layers of knowledge. There's like, oh, he turns into a normal dude. Oh, he's kind of boned, and oh, he's really boned. Like, the levels of people who know those various things are very different.
Yeah.
Only a few people know he's really boned.
Yeah. It was kind of cool seeing him, and he's like, he was kind of in a form by the end of it, like halfway between his skinny, scrawny self and the muscly one. It's like he couldn't transform back properly.
I thought I was like, you know, because he's like, you know, standing in profile. If I just like have bulk up on this side of me, the kids won't notice.
He just bulks up one side of his face.
And then after the credits, we get Stain, which tells any manga readers exactly which arcs are being adapted in the next season.
Is this coming back next year, or
I don't know when it's coming back, but they're clearly safe. They're coming back.
I think it's the autumn.
Okay,
I think it's the autumn. I know that they've mentioned it is coming back for sure, but I think it was the autumn. I might be wrong. Don't quote me.
I wasn't
me on
sure
that.
If they'd given a date. Or
yeah,
a...
I thought they would have given a date if they knew, but they just tell you
right
at the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm. It's okay, guys. It's totally coming back.
Yeah, totally coming
same
back. Here's this
time,
guy you like.
Same on my channel.
You know which two arcs we're doing.
Yeah.
So now you're only getting 13 more episodes.
To be honest, I'm happy enough with that, with the high quality of this show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine they tried to put in filler between now and then. That would be awful.
No, that would be the end. I feel like, I mean, I've been one of those crazy people who moan about it being a bit slow, and like, if you bore down this episode, nothing really happens. But it was good enough at setup, especially with the nerve TV of the two people talking. That was cool. And enough stuff that happens that's interesting, and you know, you get goggles teacher dude, like, he's in a bit of a bad way, but he's still alive, so I'm glad for that.
Yeah, but they've smashed his eyes in, so he's
suggests
that he's going to have more difficulty using his power.
Yeah, at the very least.
Immediately.
At the very least, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I was one of those crazy people who thinks it was a bit slow, but at the same time, like, I would not like to have to watch. I would not like to watch filler of this show, because I imagine it could do nothing very easily, and that would probably be torture. So
I don't know. You could write lots of comedy episodes of.
Oh yeah, you could totally write like various episodes about Sue Sue's day out, and she just frogs around town, and that's the episode.
Various school hijinks, but the problem is a lot of the upcoming arcs are just school hijinks involving superheroes. So
that's what I want to see. So I'm glad to wait for it. But
I prefer that way, where they realize this is the right amount. We'll just do this much, and we'll do it well, and that's fine. I mean, there's other anime on TV you could watch as well while we're making a new one, so just watch something else for a while, for God's sake. Go outside, maybe. I don't know.
Go watch Berserk. And then you'll be begging for it to come back.
I must admit, the one thing that made me laugh the most was when the teachers appear, it just appears at the start with someone shooting out Todoroki's, like, or the villain's, like, arms and legs, like, instantly. And then it cuts to a gun, and then it cuts to the principal. And I was like, holy shit, he's just a gunman. He's a sniper. Like, the principal's a weird mouse sniper man. Oh, no. It's some other character.
Apparently, so, like, his power is that he's more intelligent than a human. He's not a human. He's an animal that has gained the quirk.
He's a super animal.
Being more intelligent than humans.
I just want to see how he got that rad scar over his eye. Like, how did he get that? Anyway, yeah, it just made me laugh because I was like, oh my god, the rat man's a sniper. Oh no, never mind.
That would have been awesome if, like, the dog pulled a gun, you know?
he just pulls out like an Uzi or something. He's like, try me. It's like, what? What is this? I'm to this show. But yeah, good stuff.
Okay, now we're into realms unknown for Elliot. So sit back and enjoy as we talk. A message from the future. Goku Black invades. Dragon Ball Super episode 49. I can't remember exactly what happens in this, in the order of these things in this episode, but I've written a load of notes about it.
Okay.
So, time travel is illegal. That is firmly established.
Yeah.
Yep.
Whis and Beerus are both very worried that a time machine shown up.
As yeah, well, initially Beerus is like, I'm going to destroy you and Bulma, and she's like, but I didn't do it yet.
I was about to say, aren't there like six time machines littering Earth at this point? Like, what?
Yes, there kind of are.
In various states of disrepair, but yeah, sure, probably.
But she buys them off with fish sausages.
That's right. Mm. I'm loving the way they're keeping it like, my God, we got to watch out for the newest threat. Have some sausages. You know, they keep those jokes coming, and I'm kind of glad for that.
The fish sausage is the best joke, because that's often a product which has Toei anime and tokusatsu branding attached to it.
Oh, really?
So there's highly likely Dragon Ball Super fish sausages you can buy at this very point in time.
So is it going to be like, oh, it looks like Fuse up to his old tricks again. Let's power up!
And they spend the entire episode eating fish sausages after they get given it. So they got piles and piles. They're like on sun loungers drinking orange juice and eating fish sausages.
The God of Destruction and his trainer, who is more powerful than him, have a table full of wrappers of empty fish sausages that they're just munching on. Also, Bulma has just, her lab coat is filled with pockets of those things.
It's probably what she eats.
Hard day science and stuff, you know. You need quick energy on the go. Reach for a Dragon Ball Super Fish Sausage available this in Pacific 5 and New Zealand.
It's endorsed by so many Dragon Ball characters. How could you not?
Future Trunks thinks that Whis is the god rather than Beerus, much to Beerus's annoyance.
Yeah, that's the second time that's happened, isn't it?
Who else has...
I feel like someone else has mistaken Whis for the god of destruction.
I mean, it makes sense, because
he's more regal looking.
Yeah, and we know he's more powerful.
That's it as well, yeah.
I can't remember why, but there's like a great shot of Beerus putting his arm around young Trunks.
Oh, because he's like, so, he's got the same mom and dad as you kind of thing. And it's like he's getting in on the whole, it's like, is this a fucking scandal kind of situation? Because he doesn't know he's from the future yet.
Because the Pilaf gang gets shouted at for similar things. The Pilaf wanting to use the time machine to go back and stop himself dropping a coin down the drain.
That was brilliant. I thought he was going to be up to something nefarious, but it's like, oh man, I wasted that money.
Oh, I was a great at that.
Yeah, because Bulma's like, she's looking through the time machine. She finds some notes that her future self has sent back in time with her son. But yeah, while she's doing all that, like the kids in the Pilaf gang are all sticking their heads over the top of the time machine.
Yeah, they're providing the much needed comedy relief.
Yeah. Trunks explains why he was trying to attack Goku. It's because this guy, Goku Black, basically does a recap of like the alternate future of his timeline after he went back.
Oh, yeah. Like, what was it? He beat up the Majin Buu guys before they made him or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I was thinking they were keeping Goten out of it. And I was kind of thinking, because Goten is Trunks' best friend.
Yeah, but he died already in...
No, he didn't exist yet, because Goku died before he was born.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, fuck, that's really messed up. So you meet your best friend when he's older, and he doesn't even fucking know who you are. That would be really sad.
Oh, yes, because he wants to go, and Chi-Chi says, no, you got to go and do your homework. That's more important than saving the world.
You've got an exam tomorrow, man.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
But Krillin and Piccolo get filled in.
Well, yeah, they finish picking the cabbages, so... Yes. They can leave.
To get a phone call, actually. It isn't like, you know, someone...
Oh, that's true, actually,
flies in, phone saying the phone just realized, well, no,
Chi-Chi flies in with the kid carrying her, but on her iPhone.
Yeah. but Krillin's got a phone. He's just called him.
No one calls Krillin.
Piccolo,
Goku knows that he's got to call his wife before he calls Krillin.
Yeah, she'd probably get mad at him. That's true.
Bulma takes the mickey out of Goku Black's name for having such a cliched name, and then gets told that she'd invented it.
Well, that was initially after Goku going like, that's so much cooler than my name.
Yeah, Bulma's like, what a cliche, calling evil Goku Black. It's like, but Mum, you invented that. And then she gets all flustered.
Yeah, it wasn't me now, so you can't Laugh at me.
And then Goku Black shows up after tracking down...
Because he has a time ring.
Yes, which...
Has he got every cheap gadget possible?
Where did he get that from?
Yeah. And that suggests that he has something to do with the Kais, doesn't it?
Mm. Mm.
And of course, there's a Kai-type character in the opening credits now, as we mentioned.
Yeah, he looks like the regular one, except he's green, doesn't
he? He's green, and the green like ones the are from the other six. Universe. Yeah, Universe 6. Mm. Dun, dun, dun. Ah, when Trunks and Goku have a bit of a sparring match, yeah.
Well, I did like how they used that in the prior episode. It looks like Trunks is going to fight Goku. I don't believe you're real, Goku. You know, the way they'd edited that together, it's like, oh my god, he's going to try and kill Goku. And it's like, no, they were just sparring. We've just edited it to...
There's just a lot of talking and goofing around, and then the bad guy shows up, which is what I want.
Yes.
Mm. I mean, they might distract him next week with fish sausages. We don't even know.
It does seem to confirm as well that, you know, the teleport, you know, from, oh, I'll come in the future and beat Black Goku and avenge future me. So this is, if even if they, you know, get to the future or whatever and defeat Goku Black, does that mean that in the future Bulma will still be vaporized?
No, it's an alternate timeline.
Yeah.
Remember, because, like, when Trunks That's went true. Back in the past... to kill Cell, they totally kill Cell. Then when he went back to the future, Cell was still in his future, and then he killed Cell there.
Yeah.
It's a weird alternate timeline thing. It's like, I gotta warn you about this guy who possibly won't appear in your reality.
Yeah.
This is weird.
Like my timeline is fucked irreparably. It's just like death and misery, but I can probably save you. That's kind of it.
Very
selfless of him, I suppose.
Hmm.
You can definitely see why time travel is illegal.
It's just confusing.
Yeah, messes everything up.
I wonder if we're going to see like the full result though of why it's illegal, whether things will get so paradoxical that something will, like the king of everything will turn up and go.
Yeah, I mean, like Trunks is technically already a paradox, like several times over. There was a bit with Trunks basically looking at young Mai, and I was like, don't do that. It's kind of creepy. I know technically she's older than him. At that stage, but it's still weird.
Well, I think he's just kind of a bit taken aback, you know, seeing her. Oh, yeah, I forgot she'd be alive on this timeline after seeing her get fucking killed.
Yeah, in, I get
you know,
that.
But to him, 5 minutes ago, like.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's everything covered in that episode.
Random note for someone who's not watching the show, but do we know what Bulma sent back to herself in the time machine?
Yeah, it's like a book and a disc.
Explaining time travel potentially.
Yeah, because
do you think it's actually just recipes to placate the gods yet further?
Possibly, yes.
Oh man, here's the other foods that you can feed them that they haven't tried.
I think it's how to refuel the time machine because it's currently without power.
Yeah, but she was already working on that.
She probably doesn't even know what that machine does yet. Because she had Jacko holding a funnel at the end.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed Jacko wasn't here to tell them it was illegal, because he would have lost
He's definitely going to show up and try and arrest people.
He would have lost his mind even more than Beerus was.
Well, Beerus was just like, if you give me something nice, I won't destroy you. Like he does every episode
he's
now.
He's just corrupt, you know, boy. Well, I'm just thinking about my life.
He's a cat. He's a cat. That's exactly how cats behave.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, also, Jacko would just be a prick about it, and then you'd just threaten to kick his balls in, and that'd be it, you know. He'll back down.
This is a big mound of a gun, but we'll take it that way from him. Why is he?
Well, Vegeta would just stand behind him, glowering.
Oh, that's the thing as well in this episode. Vegeta was given out the Trunks for leaving the future, basically what? Running away from the
baddie. He's also like, what are you still using a sword for?
I like it, all right? Jeez, Dad, leave me alone.
I think it's cool.
You're not my real dad, kind of.
Oh, God, don't get into that.
Oh, dear.
Okay, Shonen Ashibe, Go Go Gamachan, episode 11. It's summer! It's the pool! It's Gamachan!
Ooh!
In which we got a load of jokes about being in the swimming pool with a seal.
What would that be like?
Yes. Yeah. What would it be like if a seal showed up at your school swimming lessons?
Fun!
Yes, and so a couple of the characters can't swim... And they're trying to learn. One of the is it Mao who keeps on sinking to the bottom? The one who looks like
he seems to be just kind of pondering. You know, I stand to the bottom. He's in a very thoughtful pose. How do I get out of this?
But they can't tell if it's Gamachan at the bottom of the pool or him of the ripples. And yet, no one goes like, "Should someone save him?" It's just like, no, he's fine.
Yeah, Yeah, also, the other kid who's friends with Ashibi is named Yuma. That's Yuma, folks.
Okay, yeah.
I think that's pretty much the entire episode.
The actual PE teacher is just awful at his job, but we already
Nintendo,
know that.
Yeah, he's bad at it, but also he's good.
He appears to be doing no teaching in the entire episode. He's just swimming lengths of the pool while the kids learn how to swim.
Yeah, the other teacher soaks is actually,
them and makes it more dangerous for them to learn how to swim.
He's laughing.
Oh, dear. I mean, like, I like it when he tries to go save the kid, and then he thinks he's racing Gomachan halfway there. Like, just he'd forgotten entirely why he dived into the pool kind of thing.
But yes, it was all very enjoyable, but I can't think of anything particularly a highlight apart from Mao constantly sinking.
Yeah. Mm. And it's also good to see how Sugao-kun is getting on in similar activity.
That's true. Dear.
Oh, she's just miserable.
He was nearly smiling this episode, though.
Yeah, he was just like, you know, the what's the face?
Chit-chan.
Yeah, she's teaching you how to swim. He's like, he's always so happy. He's learning how to swim. And then, of course, he has to come along and ruin everything.
It sounds like a different show because it kind of is.
Yes. And we do learn that yetis are a lot thinner when they're soaking wet.
Well, yeah, yes. It's all fluff. Like, yeah.
But that's Gomachan. And it's continuing into the next season.
Hey.
I don't know how long for. I wonder if it'll be an entire year of Gomachan. I don't know how long the previous outings of Gomachan lasted. I think quite a while.
Hmm.
And finally, our final episode of this week's episode is Tonkatsu DJ Akitara episode 12, in which we learn that the weather forecast was snow.
Oh.
And so Akitara has to take a long opening act at the club.
Because the other acts that can't arrive for the various things.
They're
yeah.
all stuck in snow. So, who are the duo? I can't remember what the duo is called. But they get
the spicy and sweet one, yeah.
Yeah, they get there by... the journalist gets them there by takes them all in the back roads.
Yeah, of course he's got a mini, so he can just take all the little narrow streets.
And of course he's great at everything.
Yeah.
The hip-hop guy and his crew decide to walk there.
Because they're hardcore.
Well, they went to the baths, didn't they, beforehand? And then it turned out to be snowing and they walked there. Is it Dong, the Korean dude?
Yeah, even he manages to make it in the
bad
weather.
He has to get to a different airport and then he gets there by travelling on the roof of a truck.
Which he insists is much less harsh than the winters in Seoul.
Yeah. And then Akitara's like, oh, it's going great. They're all here. There must be something else I can do. And then he realizes. And then Big Master Fry appears to him in a dream and says, yes, you're not just a DJ. You have other skills you can
you're
help.
You're a Tonkatsu DJ, yes. Remember?
And so he rushes
and
grabs the. He grabs the leftovers and he makes soup for everyone who are coming into the club. And often, quite loads of people are turning up to the club because this seems to be the only place still open in this awful, awful weather.
Yeah, there are some guys trying to like find the next bar, and saying, oh, we shouldn't know the previous bar, this everyone's closed. No, best go in there. It's open. It looks pretty good.
Yes, people are just like, I can't get home. The weather's so terrible. Let's go to this club. And then DJ Ollie plays his big hit. Everything's great. Large City is on the map.
Yeah.
Season 2, as soon as possible, please.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good, good.
Anything else to add?
That's.
I mean,
that's kind of it. It's good.
All we can say is it's great every week.
And, obviously, you noticed that the music has been appearing online now. And
that's
putting
good.
That on a few times. It's good stuff.
So you can chill out?
Yeah, I'm way behind on this series. I've only watched 3 episodes, but yeah, I really like it. It's really good. It scratches issues that other shows just don't get anywhere near. So,
oh, is that a pun?
No, it's really not. Wait, I should have said yes. Never mind. But no, it's real good. This show does so many good things.
Yeah, and that's it for this week. Next week, loads more new anime. Hopefully, as long as it appears in the UK region. So I think we got Saiki Kusuo no Sainan. Has it got an English title yet?
Not that I know of.
No. I'm really hoping Banania shows up, but
that's a Brian show.
It is. Yeah. Show by Rock Shorts, D Gray Man, even though we've not watched the previous D Gray Man series.
Well, we can just jump straight in.
I can't remember what it's called. The Magical Girl Show by the Good Good Fairies writer.
Oh, blessed.
Cute High Earth Defense Club, love.
Yeah, possibly, but the other guys haven't watched it, so.
That is the full title of it. Yes. I've just got the page up. But yeah, I can't wait for that. I really like that show. It really won me over last series, and I can't wait to see what the hell they do with it, because God knows what they're going to do now.
And I'm guessing no Berserk next week.
you're gonna quit on it after one episode.
Unless this is some kind of Mr. Osamatsu style bait and switch to real episode, it's gonna be like, you know, it's gonna be more like this. Then probably not.
You guys planning to watch Mob Psycho 100 if it turns up?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
But I think that's not out to the 14th, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, there's no confirmation on UK availability yet, if I remember correctly. So hold on to your pants.
Yeah, it's that one's got to be picked up, though, right? I mean, like, that's...
One would hope. Like, if not, then what the hell happened?
People are not paying attention to what people like.
Hey, man, it's happened before with UK anime.
<That's>,
like,
yeah, that's fair.
It would be a massive oversight, considering what One Punch Man did for getting people into it and getting people I know who were lapsed anime fans back into anime.
So you introduce him to the terror that was Buddy Daisuke's player then. You terrible person.
I never had any problem with Daisuke.
Man, I have nothing but problems with Daisuke's player. Oh my God. I could moan for another half an hour about it.
Funimation Now, on the other hand.
Oh no, that's also hot garbage. Like, Jesus.
But no, I've never had a single problem with Daisuke.
Yeah, generally a reload of the page tended to fix whatever problem was happening.
Yeah, it's bones. I don't know what the last bones thing which didn't get picked up from somewhere.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think we've really missed anything from them in the last couple of years, isn't it?
No, don't think so. I think we're good. Oh, we might watch Love Life Sunshine as well. That's tomorrow. At 7:30 Pacific time. So what time will that be our time?
11:30, I think.
Not soon enough.
Pacific time, it'd be eight hours after that. So that'll be...
8 hours before? No, yeah, you're right. Eight hours after. Sorry, gee, it's been too long. Yeah. So yeah, middle of the morning. Don't stay up.
Righty-ho, that wraps up this week's episode of Let's Go JoJo. Be back next week to hang with the Let's Go gang. And in the meantime, check out our regular podcasts at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com, dynamiteinthebrain.com, and Elliot.
Check out UK Anime Network at uk-anime.net. We just had a new podcast wrapping up the last season, where you can discover that I watched virtually nothing of it and I left everything up to my co-host. Whoops.
Hey, at least you showed up for the podcast.
Hey man, I have to edit. Someone has to edit the bastard thing, so.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Ta-ta.